Normally I'm fluent and he's normally chill. What's up, Jay? How you doing?
In effect, you know what time it is.
I'm not saying that I'm not fluent today. I think I'm fluent every day, but you're definitely not chill. So we have stuff. We're going to continue with our all-time greatest teams tournament. We're going to talk very, very quickly. It's not on the docket. It's a surprise. Like this much, we're going to talk about baseball. Baseball. First round picks, we're going to go through based on who we know is in the playoffs right now. We have a really good conspiracy. I told you this last time. We have a really good conspiracy. However, you and I have both said we hate the play-in tournament.
Hate it, Tone. Not dislike it, hate it.
So before I started recording, you started on a rant. I said, stop. Please continue.
Was the Charlotte was that even necessary last night? First of all, last night's game, before we even get to the arena, Tone, they have to get off the bus because they're at a train crossing, and the train is stopping the bus from getting to the arena. So they got to walk to the arena, the Charlotte Hornets do. They got to get off the bus and they got to walk to the arena. So this is a preview of what's about to happen. Okay, this is how the night is gonna go for these guys, right? Add that to the fact that they get pummeled last night. They don't lose. They get completely pummeled. I'm looking at, I'm oh man, I'm a little animated because I think that that is not a playoff team that I saw last night, Tom. That Charlotte team is not a playoff team. You and I had this conversation about Gordon Hayward already, and I think that it's about time for him to hang it up because we got a guy who, had he been healthy, I think that they had a legit shot of making the playoffs. But that team last night just looked out of sorts. PJ Washington, he got dominated. Lonzo Ball looked, not Lonzo, I'm sorry. LaMelo Ball, yeah, LaMelo Ball, he looked not just out of sorts, he just looked out of place. I think he started at halftime, he was 3 for 13. He couldn't get anything going whatsoever. That Charlotte team, they're so far away from being a legit, not contender tone, a legit playoff team. They're so far away from that. And I think that this play-in tournament, what it does is it gives people hope that, maybe my team can make the playoffs. Right, I can get with that logic. But your team has to at least be viable. I'm watching that Charlotte team last night. You know who that Charlotte team remind me of, Tom? That Charlotte team remind me of a 10 and 16 team in a mid-major league that ended up winning the conference championship and got into the tournament and got smoked in the first round. That's what they remind me of. And there's no reason for them to be there. That's not a playoff team, and they're so far away from being a legit playoff team.
You know my feelings on you have 82 games to finish in the top eight. You don't need a wild card. You don't need a chance. And if you're gonna do it, if you're gonna do it, if here's a, I'll allow a play-in game. If you're within 3 games of the team ahead of you, if your record is over 500, okay,
See, no,
I don't
Tone.
want that. I'm saying if you force me to. You have to be, there needs to be, because a team that's 12 games away from a playoff seeding, 12 games behind that's under 500, you have no business being in a playing game. I don't like it at all. I don't like it at all. I'm saying they're going to force it because it's exciting. There's money involved, right? You know why they're doing it. It's extra games, it's extra revenue. It's not good for basketball. I'm sorry. It's not. I will say this, however.
Excuse
I
me.
will say this, however. Something about Atlanta clicked approximately 23 home games ago, where, and I didn't know this until they blew out Charlotte last night. They've gone 20 of 23 at home. They've won 20 of their last 23 at home, and not close games. Like they're dominating teams. Now they got to go on the road, right? And play. I believe, yeah, they got to go into Cleveland and get a win. That might be, could they be a dangerous team if they're that dominant at home in the playoffs? If they find a way to be the eighth seed?
Well, first of all, they've played Cleveland 4 times. They only lost to them once. All right? They only lost to them one time, and in the 3 wins that they've played, they've dominated Cleveland. So, with that being said, this is why, Tone, when you and I had this debate about the All NBA teams, I'm having a difficult time keeping a guy that's almost 30 and 10, who leads the league in assists and scoring, off the All-NBA team. He's the engine that makes them go. Yeah. As bad as he was shooting yesterday in the first half, his playmaking ability, his ability to get guys open, his ability to free guys, to draw the defense. He had four guys on him last night at some point, and he was just dealing. When I look at this team and I look at how they come together, right, defensively, they're one of the best teams in the league at home. And that's largely due to Clint Capela, right? RJ Hunter, he's been playing really good for them. I still think that they're a ways away, but Trae Young, offensively, he masks a lot of their deficiencies. A lot of the stuff that they do wrong, he makes up for it because he's so good. Now, does this mean that they're going to be scary and that they're going to be a team that'll be dealt with in the playoffs? I don't think they're getting past Cleveland. But if they did, I don't think that they could beat the Miami Heat. But I think that they could make some noise in the playoffs. I do.
All right. So that's our beef with the play-in game. I guess before we jump into conspiracy, listen, we got two games to determine the eighth seed. We got the Hawks and the Cavs. You mentioned you think the Cavs, you got the Cavs beating the Hawks?
I do. I do have them beating them.
I would be very disappointed. Not that I don't like Atlanta, but for the season that the Cavs have had, the great surprising season that they had, they've worked their tails off. They've got the eighth seed. They have more wins. They were the two seed at one point. They were the fifth seed for a long time. Then they, a couple of injuries, they dropped to the eighth seed. And that's why I don't like this play-in tournament. For a team that just held on, this young team, they're going to lose in the first round. But that playoff experience, I think, would have been really, really good for them. If they lose to Atlanta and don't get to experience that, that's one of the really – one of the other negatives about this play-in is that here's a team that really earned it for 82 games and one game now. They this is going to cost them what they earned over 82 games. That bothers me. The other game is the Pelicans. Man, Zion looks great in warm-up, by the way. Hey. Doesn't he? If you throw Zion with – it's Valanciunas, right? Is the Pelicans center now who looked good? CJ McCollum, where did that come from? Against the Clippers, Pelicans have a shot.
Well,
my at least first being in the playoffs.
Well, my first question to you, Tone, is why isn't Zion in the lineup?
I have no idea.
Can I get a satisfactory answer on why he's not in the lineup? I'm looking at a guy that's doing windmills just off the one hop. He's doing 360 dunks.
Not only 360, he crossed over his man and then took a step and 360.
Why is this dude not playing? Can I get a satisfactory answer on why he's not playing? You can't give me one. And this is exactly the logic that I gave you before, Tone, about why he's not going to be there and why you should have him on the floor. Because you have to be able to sell him. He's not going to be there. So if you can get whatever... two or three more years.
If I'm another team right now and I'm seeing that, I'm going, oh, maybe he looks good.
Yes,
maybe I will give a couple of first rounders.
Yes, absolutely. Maybe. And this is what I'm trying to sell to the other teams because I'm going to lose him. He's not going to be here when free agency comes around. He's going to be gone. He's not re-signing back here. So for you to sit him and for him to completely lose a season, which it's obvious that he's healthy. It's obvious that he can still play. So the fact that he's not been able, the fact that he's been out of the lineup is beyond me. Now, I look at this New Orleans team, and Tony, they got some really good players. You already know how I feel about Valanciunas. I love Valanciunas. Absolutely. Brandon Ingram, he reminds me of he's got a Glenn Rice thing going on, Tony. That's what he's got with me. He's got a Glenn Rice thing going on where he gets I'm thinking about a more athletic version of Glenn Rice where
You know what I'm thinking? Sorry to interrupt you. You know what I'm thinking? Man, I wish the Lakers would have been patient with with that young core of players that they had.
No, you don't, Tony. You know why you don't? Because you got a championship out of it. That's why you don't.
No. We're the Lakers. We don't want one. We don't want one. One's a failure. The fact that don't make me go off on LeBron James saying this season wasn't a failure.
I ain't saying that it wasn't.
How you put that team together and you don't make a 10-team play-in tournament and that's not a failure for LeBron James and Anthony. I don't care. Oh, injuries, injuries. Really, the Clippers had more injuries. Paul George and Kawhi both out. Jamal Murray in Denver, their second best player, out the whole season. Not in and out like AD, but they didn't have a Westbrook, did they? The injury thing is not to make top 10.
No, not to make top 10. And by the way, James did lead the league in scoring, Tone. He did
No,
do
he didn't.
everything.
No, he didn't.
I'm sorry.
He
I'm
didn't play
sorry.
enough games.
He did, at one point he led the league in scoring. That he did do that. He did lead the league in scoring. And it was a disappointing season. No question about it.
It's a
But
failure.
it was absolutely a failure. No
And
doubt about it.
so no, I'm sorry. For me, the greatest player in the world, arguably, right? He's in the car, arguably the greatest player ever, leading the league in scoring on the greatest franchise in NBA history, arguably, but I think so.
They are.
4 seasons, he has 2 missed playoffs, first round exit, and a ring. One ring's not enough. I'm sorry. It's the Lakers. It's not, the King, the Clippers. The Clippers would have 20 parades if they won a chip. It's not that franchise. This is a franchise that has the most NBA titles, or tied for the most NBA titles, but definitely the most in the last 30 years.
They wouldn't have to make the playoffs again, the Clippers.
If it wasn't for that crazy run in the 60s, they'd be killing the Celtics in titles.
They wouldn't have to make the play. The Clippers wouldn't have to make the playoffs if in the last 4 years, if they won the NBA championship and
Yeah,
got
they
a full
would.
back,
20 years they could go without making the playoffs. Yeah, they're
they
fine.
wouldn't have to make the playoffs again,
Right?
ever.
My beloved Raptors, we're still living off that title.
And you're going to
They,
still be living off of it. You're
hey,
going
they
to
moved
still
to
feel good.
Tampa. They had to move to Tampa. They didn't make the playoffs. We were like, it's okay, guys. It's fine. Everybody from that team left. We're still like, it's okay. Hey, look at our ring. Like, everyone's still happy. That's not the Lakers. I'm sorry. That's not good enough for the Lakers. If Kobe and Shaq won one and then missed the playoffs, even because of injuries, you think that would be acceptable?
No, I don't.
It's not acceptable. I'm sorry. It's held to a different standard. Sorry.
And
Let
you
me, let me, let me.
did still get James. You got James in the prime of his career. He was on the other side of it, but he still was in the prime of his
He,
career.
but that's the thing that drives me nuts.
He still was in the
If
prime of
he
his career. You
just,
didn't get him when he was
who
over.
was
That
on
didn't
that
happen.
team? Ingram, Randall,
Julius Randle,
Ball,
Lonzo
like they,
Ball, Jordan Clarkson.
the core was so good. Just, I wish he would, I go back to Cleveland, and not that I did, Kevin Love played great. But if he would have took Andrew Wiggins, that was their first round pick. If he would have taken Andrew Wiggins under his wing, taught him how to hit the gym, because let's
No
be
way,
honest,
dog. Nuh-uh. Nope.
I'm telling you, I'm telling
Nope.
you,
You're not selling me that.
telling you.
No way. Because Andrew Wiggins, it's obvious who Andrew Wiggins was. Andrew Wiggins was a guy who's just showing up and doing his job and he's leaving. That's who Andrew Wiggins is.
LeBron could have lit a fire under
And
him.
I'm not, I don't have time for that. No, I don't. The reason why I came back here is to win. And to not win in 5 years or to win in another. No, it's to win right now. That's why I came back here. My legacy is going to be about championships and championships only, and I don't have time for that. No, I don't. Absolutely not. Now, I digress.
I think he lights a fire under him like Jordan did Pippen, and
No
that's a
way.
better team in the long run. I think they compete with that with the KD Warriors if they have a fire under him, and it's him, Kyrie, and LeBron. I think that's a better team. I think that's a better team.
No.
Personally, that's just me. Okay. We're gonna mess up the whole entire agenda, so let's jump right into our first round picks, since we're talking about this anyway. So, Miami, we're starting in the East. Miami's gonna be the one seed. They're gonna play Cleveland or Atlanta. You think Cleveland? I think Atlanta. I don't think it makes a difference. Do you think either team, Cleveland or Atlanta, has a shot against Miami?
I don't think that Cleveland has a shot in terms of beating them. I think that they can win a game, maybe 2 games. Defensively, they'll make this thing really interesting because they got one of the best defensive teams. A lot of people talk about what happened against Brooklyn, and Tony, you and I had this conversation about if Cleveland could keep the game in the high 90s, low 100s, they had a shot. Well, turns out we got a 2-possession game with 1 minute on the clock, and Brooklyn has got 105 points, right? Brooklyn's only got 105 points, so we got a 2-possession game. They're right in the middle of it. right? So when I look at this Cleveland team against Miami, who doesn't score in bunches like that, but they can score. And I think Cleveland defensively, they'll make it interesting if they were to get past Atlanta. I think that they'll get past Atlanta. They'll make it interesting, but I think that in the end, I think Miami will handle them in 5-6 games.
I'm less optimistic. I think Miami is in four against Cleveland, although a close four, not blowouts. And I think Atlanta gets one at home. And maybe if they play Atlanta, it's five. If they play Cleveland, it's four. I think it's a quick series for Miami, which is probably good for them because although Bam is nice and young, Lowry, Butler, you know, they're kind of on the wrong side. They're like us. They're on the wrong side of that hill.
They got some miles on.
All right, the next one. I love this one. Boston. There's already been a lot of chirping between Boston and Brooklyn. This is going to be a chippy series. Mm-hmm. So Boston, Brooklyn, the 2-7. I don't think there's been a 2-7 seed that it's not a typical 2-7 seed.
Well, it reminds me of the Knicks in 99 when the Knicks were the 8 seed. The Knicks weren't the 8 seed.
They weren't
the
8 seed, yeah. It was a shortened season.
Absolutely not. And same thing with this Brooklyn team. That's not a 7 seed. They're a lot better than that. KD got hurt, and he said it derailed their season. But, you know, Bruce Brown, he gets on TV and talks about how, you know, they don't have Robert Williams and we can exploit this. Now, remember, Tone.
Although it's true.
That's what I was getting to. As a ball player, and not only is it true, Tone, as ball players, when we're in the locker room, we absolutely are saying that, man, they don't got the big fella. We're going to attack this guy. We're going to attack that guy. So that's absolutely a fact, only except, you don't say that out loud.
Say it in the media.
You don't tell them that, because even though we're absolutely talking about that. Plus, KD is looking at this going, I'm the one that's on the hook. Yeah. If this goes the other way, I'm the one that's going to have to – I'm the one that's going to have to speak for everybody, right? So
yeah, he tried. He came on after him, and he was already trying to pull it back and be hold on, hold on. I have an idea. For those people in the comments, can you guys let us know? I'm thinking me and Jay should start a media training course for young NBA players to tell them what they should and shouldn't say. Like, we'll get them out of the typical cliches, but maybe be like, We'll talk about that when I'm in Florida next couple of weeks.
Absolutely.
All right. So
to answer your question, Tom.
To
answer your question, I think Boston beats them. I think it takes 6 games to do it. And the reason why I think so, I think they got a better team defensively. I think that the idea of Horford and Theis being liabilities, I think that that's going to light a fire up under them. And Tone, you know this just as well as I do. When you get into the playoffs, you cannot just outscore teams. You have to stop people. You have to do that. And if you think that – if I think that Kyrie Irving is going to play games where he's not going to miss a shot until the fourth quarter, if that's what I'm relying on, good luck. Good luck with that. I think the Celtics beat them in 6 games.
You know, I think missing Williams is going to be a problem for them on the inside.
It is.
I don't know what's going to happen with Ben Simmons, because another guy who probably should be playing and – you know, I know he had a setback with his injuries, but I don't know. I saw something in Kyrie, even if it was just for one game, that it just – I feel like this is his – could it be like his second breakout? Like, because he already broke out once and then he kind of came back down to – I think I got the Nets in 7.
Okay.
I think the Nets can't do it the entire playoffs, outscore teams. I just – this thing with KD and Kyrie – like, I feel like when they're on, which it seems like they're on right now, they're the second best team in the East. They really are, to me. I think the Bucks are the best team in the East. I think the Nets are the second best team in the East, even with their, you know, you're going to need a big, big defensive kind of stand from Drummond. Mm-hmm. You're going to need, listen, I keep saying, what does KD do other than score? And everyone keeps telling me, he's a good defender. Well, he's going to have to show it right now in the playoffs. He's going to have to show it because he's going to have the assignment of either stopping a very talented Tatum or Brown. And look, no one can – we always say stop. And let's be very clear. These NBA professionals, no one can stop any of the elite players.
Mm-hmm.
Make their lives difficult, slow them down a little bit, situational, right? Those type – that's the best you can do. Let's see if he can do that. But I think they can in the first round. I still think
– not surprised about Kyrie Irving, though, Tony, simply because, I mean, that's who Irv is. Irv is that guy who once he gets going, you got no shot.
And that's what I'm saying. I think if he can go on that, I think if he and KD stay healthy, which is a big mm-hmm. if, they both can take over games as they showed. Mm-hmm. And if they do, they're going to be hard to beat. They're going to be hard to beat. Mm-hmm. Then we got Milwaukee, Chicago.
What the logic that I gave you, the logic that I gave you with Toronto and Philadelphia, I feel the same way about Milwaukee and Chicago. They have no answer for Giannis. I think they mopped them in five games, Tone. I don't think they beat them. I think they mopped Chicago in five games.
Chicago was so promising.
It was in first place almost the entire season in the East. But those injuries, losing Caruso, losing Ball, that continuity, and with DeRozan basically holding them together with glue and tape, it just became too much. And they just felt that they didn't fall off a cliff, but they definitely fell off. And I look at how much better Milwaukee has become over the last month and how they're rolling right now. Mm-hmm. And I think that they mopped Chicago in five games. I think that's a quick five-game series. They have no answer for Giannis whatsoever.
Injuries are never good. Injuries are never good. But I feel like Milwaukee kind of benefited getting their injuries out in the beginning. Right, they started off slow. They had people out of the lineup mm-hmm. because everyone's saying, "Oh, you know, we keep hearing 82 games is too long. If you need to fix the NBA, you know, drop it to 70, drop it to 62." We keep hearing that's why they're load managing. I always argue. I thought all the athletes were bigger, stronger, faster, more durable. What's happening? Why do they need a shorter season? We had way more guys playing 82 games back then,
and more minutes, by the way, not just
and more minutes. Yeah, and more minutes. So I think they benefited from that. And look, they're hitting their stride right at the right time. This is what you want. You want to be heading into the playoffs on a high note. I think it goes six. I don't think it's going to be as easy as you do. But yeah, I think Milwaukee, look, they might get it in five. You might be right. But I think it's six. I hope it's six. Because if there's too many easy series, I don't like it. All right.
Ho! Stop right there. You know it's interesting that you don't like it, Tom, because I distinctively remember vividly that my good man Tom right here, when his Los Angeles Lakers walked to the NBA Finals in 2001, going undefeated in the entire That's Western Conference, different. And then mopping the Philadelphia 76ers in five games. This dude was standing on top of a mountain like this, right? But now we got teams that, you know, I don't know if blowing teams out is a good thing. Tone, you are.
No. Hold on. I'll be very honest. I want to watch seven game, one possession, 1 point games, except for my team. Yes, I want them to blow up by 30. That way I don't sweat. I don't have any heart palpitations. Yes, I want blowouts and sweeps. Absolutely. That's my team's not in the playoffs. So now I want to see long, good series. So we both have Miami. We're split on Boston. Brooklyn, we both have Milwaukee. I know we're split on this one too. Philadelphia, Toronto.
I feel the same way about Philadelphia, Toronto that I feel about Milwaukee. The thing that could screw this series up for Philadelphia is Doc complicates this thing, and he'll end up getting himself in a coaching war with Nick Nurse, and he will absolutely get himself outcoached. I'm not on the fence about that. I'm not thinking maybe. He will absolutely get himself outcoached if he complicates this and makes this more difficult than it has to be. You got a big guy who's dominant. They don't have an answer, and that's the ingredients right there. That's the formula. Now, I will tell you this, Tone. Siakam, he goes after Tobias. Siakam doesn't play well against Tobias. He destroys Tobias.
Yeah,
he
likes playing against Tobias.
I don't know what it is about Tobias, but when he sees him, he's like, absolutely. He's licking his chops against
there's
Tobias.
There's these matchups sometimes that make no sense. I always, every time you say something, I think back to, remember Shaq talking about Bryant, Big Country Reeves? He's like, that guy, no one's putting him on an all-star team, but at the same time, Shaq was like, I hated that guy. He just scored on me. I couldn't stop him.
I couldn't do anything with this dude at all.
Little baby jumpers.
Yeah. And I look at Siakam, and I can't put it together, Tone, but him and Tobias Harris, he goes after him.
He always does, it's the same move. He gets into like mid-key area, fakes left, go and spins right and lays it up like this awkward looking, and it goes in, and just Harris is like, what? Every time. I just
And Tobias and Tobias Harris's issue is that he tries to go right back at him, which takes away from what they're doing.
Yeah.
Which is running the O through the big fella. Now, the only way that this series gets complicated is, like I just told you, Tone, if Doc Rivers make the only way this series becomes what you think it's going to become is if Doc complicates this and he tries to get himself in a coaching war and in a coaching battle with Nick Nurse, because he's going to lose that. He's absolutely, if he tries to get into an X and O coaching battle with Nick Nurse, he's absolutely going to lose that. Don't complicate this, Doc. You got a dominant big man. Toronto doesn't have an answer for him. That's going to be your bread and butter. That's how you're going to win this series. That simple.
Are you picking Philadelphia?
I got Philadelphia in five.
In five. Wow. Okay, five games. Shaq. I got, Shaq had a sweep. I got Toronto in seven.
Mm-hmm.
Not only, and I'm going to give you a bold statement right now. Not only do I have Toronto beating Philadelphia in seven, they're going to beat Miami the round after and meet Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference Finals. Well, they'll lose there. Raptors, baby.
Wait a minute. Why are you stopping there, Tom? Don't stop there. If you get into the conference finals,
they're losing to the Bucks. They're losing to the Bucks. But you never know. You never know. That's a different Giannis than they played a couple of years ago. This is a different Giannis.
Not the same dude.
It's not the same dude. Okay, we'll go through the West a little bit quicker. We got Phoenix, and what are we thinking? Clippers or I think the Pelicans. I think the Pelicans beat the Clippers.
No, Tone, I don't think so. Even though I think they got more firepower offensively. I do. Not only do I think they have more firepower offensively, I think that they look like they're tougher. They do. New Orleans looks like they're tougher. But I think that the Clippers I think that they can outlast them.
Yeah,
I do. I think that the Clippers can outlast them. Yeah, I know it's just one game, but I think that the Clippers can outlast them.
All right, Phoenix. Let's go Phoenix Clippers then for you, and I'll do Phoenix and Pelicans.
I think Phoenix beats them in five games. I think they handle them in five, six games tops.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be the Pelicans, but I think either Pelicans or Clippers, mm-hmm. it's five. It's either one. I think it's five. Mm-hmm. They'll get one at home. my Memphis Grizzlies versus what did I tell you that might happen this playoff with Anthony Edwards? Didn't I say this might be his coming out party?
He'd become a star. You did,
man. That playing game sure looked like it might be the case, because Cat went like 0 for 11 to start the game, which he cannot do again, obviously. But Anthony Edwards looked good.
The first thing that I think about with Anthony Edwards is I think about it just a young guy who's young enough, and I don't want to use the word dumb, but naive enough to think that I can do it. And he's out there with that kind of confidence that I'm better than all of you guys. No, none of you guys out here are better than me. Not one of you guys. Tone, I'm going to tell you right now, this Memphis series is going to be a lot more competitive than people think. People are looking at Minnesota and they're saying that Memphis is going to have this series is going to be a lot more competitive than you think. I think that this series is going to go six games, maybe seven.
I believe it. I believe I still have Memphis winning.
I do,
but
too.
I think they've got a big man who can shoot, who can play inside. They've got Anthony Edwards, who I think the term is not that he's dumb. It's that young and like doesn't know any better. He doesn't know that he's supposed to lose, right? It's like, I'm just playing basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that helps. Sometimes you get a few years into the league and you're like, oh, we're the eighth seed. We got no shot. But no, we're good. Mm-hmm. And I think his star is, I keep saying it and I don't think people are disagreeing with me, but I think that star is rising. I think it's a six game series, but I have Memphis still winning it.
What has to happen with Cat, Tone, is Cat has to play within himself. What he did against the Clippers is completely uncharacteristic. Here's a guy, he's bowing over guys. And I'm like, wait a minute, Cat, that's not your game. Cat is the guy who his game starts on a perimeter where he stretches the defense.
Mm-hmm.
And once he stretches the defense, that opens up everything for him, driving to the lane. Once he gets that mid-range going, once he gets that long ball going, then that opens up all the other facets of his game. This guy's trying to bully guys. And I'm like, Cat, wait a minute, that's not you. That's not your game.
Pat Beverly was chirping in his ear. That's why.
What are you doing, my man?
But you have the Grizzlies though, or do you have
I got the Grizzlies. Okay, I got so the Grizzlies.
Both,
yes, I
do. Yeah, so
I
both do. Have Phoenix. We both have the Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. This one's going to be interesting. Curry is back and practicing, so we're going to mm-hmm. assume that he's going to be healthy and ready to go. Golden State, Denver.
Tony, this is a tough one for me because Denver got a really, I think they got a really good shot. Joker is so good at figuring out defenses, but I just don't think he has enough for that Warriors team. I don't. I think that that series is going to be competitive. I think it'll go six. I think that Draymond Green being healthy, I think that Andrew Wiggins, I think he might struggle early, but I think that he's going to get it together considering the leader that Draymond Green is. And with Klay Thompson being able to shoot the long ball and stretch the defense the way he does, same thing with Steph, I just think that they'll be too much for Denver. I think they'll be in six games.
Yeah, I think that's the thing is that the Klay and Steph, obviously, they don't really have an answer for them. I'd feel better for Denver if they had Jamal Murray back in the lineup. Mm-hmm. And I'm also expecting Draymond to just like, if it was me, just like attach yourself to Jokic's hip. Just, look, you're not going to stop him, but if you can just make the passes a little bit harder, the shots a little bit more difficult, a little harder to get a rebound, it's going to take a toll on him because I'm not saying he's doing it alone because he's got pieces, but I don't think they have enough to last a full series with Golden State. So I got Golden State in six as well. Mm-hmm. Let's see about this one because we'll see how bold of a take it is. Dallas, Utah.
Well, first of all, we know that Luka's coming into the series banged up, so he might not even play Saturday. So I already had, even with Luka healthy, I already had Utah beating them. I had Utah beating them in six games. I think that I just look at this Utah team and I think about a team that defensively, even though Dallas is a really good defensive team, I think Rudy just gives them that element that other teams don't have defensively. He makes it really difficult on them. And Donovan Mitchell, he's got to match Luka in terms of production. He's going to have to match Luka in terms of production. And I think that he'll do that. And I think that the point guard play, Conley can't get outplayed by Brunson. That can't happen. He can't get completely. I don't think he will get outplayed by Brunson. And I think that this Utah team outlasts them. It's going to take six games to do it, but I think that they do outlast them.
I actually thought you were going to pick Dallas because I'm actually on Utah as well, and I find it interesting that we're talking about Utah, maybe even a little bit more as the five seed than we did as the one seed last year, which is just blows my mind. I also think we're going to see because, as you've mentioned, you think the coach has kind of run his course.
I think
in Utah. People are talking about blowing the team up and either trading Mitchell, trading Gobert, making like there's this chatter is happening. We're going to see because do they take that to heart and say, hey, we're playing for our collective lives, right? Because the talk is they're going to blow this thing up if we don't do something this season. And I think they use that and then the conversation becomes, can Luka get out of the first round? Or is he like Tracy McGrady? Right? Because you know people are that quick to judge. So if he gets knocked out in the first round, and again, not his fault. The roster stinks. But the narrative will be, oh, Luka can't get out of the first round. It's unfair, but that's going to be the narrative. And I think we're going to start having those conversations. I've got Utah as well on that one.
Is it though, Tone? Because when we talk about great players, right? When we talk about great players and we talk about all-time greats. So when I have to listen to people talk to me about Luka being on pace to being the GOAT status and all of that sort of stuff, is it unfair to say that Luka can't get out of the first round when I have guys that are all-time greats who can win a playoff series? Ain't nobody saying that you got to carry your team to the NBA championship, but a player who can win a playoff series. Like, I remember Jordan. Jordan didn't get out of the first round before.
Jordan's first three seasons didn't get out of the first round.
He didn't get out
LeBron,
of the first
LeBron round. Didn't make the playoffs the first two seasons. And then year three, yes, he gets out of the second round. Okay, Magic wins as a rookie, but that's the exception.
Right.
I think both things are – well, and actually, Luka's year four now, isn't he? So
yes, he is.
Mm-hmm. So the first year, they didn't make the playoffs, and then two first-round exits. Mm-hmm. So for me, I've said this before. I think the whole he's on pace to be the GOAT is unfair too. So I think to say he can't get out of the first round when he's only played three, you know, he's been 4 years, excuse me, this is year four in the NBA. I think it's too early to pin him as that as well.
Yeah.
He has played well. It's not like look what he did last season. Could he have done any more? Like, you got to look at the supporting cast. And honestly, you got to look at the teams that they play, right? Like, I say this, you know, I say this about Jordan. He's the Celtics twice. The greatest team of their era back then was the Celtics. He had to play them in the first round. Could you imagine, we'll use LeBron as the example, having to play the Warriors, the KD Warriors in the first round? Yeah, the Cavs probably aren't making it out of the first round either, right? So those matchups matter. I think for Luka, I think it's less about the matchups, although he's played, you know, his playoff series haven't been easy. But also, I look at his roster. He doesn't have help. And, you know, I say this for anyone who will listen, no one wins alone. No one. And it doesn't have to be superstar teammates, but it needs to be teammates. It needs to be a good roster. It needs to be role players. He doesn't have it. So I think both the GOAT talk for Luka and if the narrative becomes can't get out of the first round, I think they're both premature. Yeah. I think they're both premature.
Mm-hmm. I can definitely get with that. Absolutely, I can get with that. Mm-hmm.
All right. We talked about players not playing 82 games and wanting to shorten the season earlier. And it reminded me, and this is why when I kind of said about baseball, I just quickly your opinion on this, because it blows my mind that this was done. And I don't know if you know, but so Kershaw, the pitcher Kershaw, last night, I believe, or the night before, pitched seven perfect innings.
It wasn't Kershaw, it was Hill.
No, Kershaw.
Was it Clayton Kershaw?
Yeah, Clayton Kershaw, 100%. Okay. 100% Kershaw.
Okay.
80 pitches. 80 pitches. Now, he's thrown no-hitters before. So if he was throwing a no-hitter into seven innings, excuse me, and they pulled him, I understand. There's been a ton of no-hitters. He actually has no-hitters. But just so you understand, in Dodgers history, from Brooklyn to L.A., do you know how many perfect games have been in that franchise's history?
Zero.
One.
One.
One. And it was 1960-something. So I know it's early in the season. I believe I'm going to say the wrong pitcher, so I'm not going to say the name of the person who did it. Kershaw, seven innings perfect. I know it's early in the season. I know that they do pitch counts and all that stuff now. I look back to Roger Clemens, Nolan Ryan pitching 160 pitches. When it's something historical like that, it would only be the second perfect game in Dodgers history. There's probably only a handful of perfect games in MLB history. Why don't you let him go for it?
And I think he screwed up, and he said he screwed up. He didn't realize what exactly was going on, and the fact that he yanked him, he definitely said that he was remorseful for that, because, you know, you're not going to see that again. How many perfect games have we seen season to season? I mean, it's not that many. I haven't seen many perfect games. So especially a guy like Clayton Kershaw, who I can't remember him throwing a perfect game even that far into any of his starts. I mean, we got him into the seventh inning and he's throwing a perfect game. So
on 80 pitches, that's not a lot.
That's it, on 80 pitches. So when I get a guy like Clayton Kershaw, you get a mojo around you too, Tone. Not only do you get a mojo, you get guys around you that they start sitting away from you because this guy got something on him. He got something on him, and leave him alone. So, and let him keep going. And you would think that the skip would recognize that and go, let's keep going with this. But the fact that he didn't, I was really surprised about that. And I was disappointed too, because that's another accolade that Clayton Kershaw could have added to his legacy.
How does the manager not know the situation? He should know that. Like, perfect game, just so we're clear, that means like no walks, no errors, no base runners. Like,
it's 27 up, 27 down, Tone. That's
perfect.
It. 27 up, 27 down.
And the fact that you were like, well, you know, we kind of agreed that he would only pitch 80, 85 pitches. And okay, that's cool. It's early in the season. We don't want to push him. My man, if he gets one hit in the eighth, have your guy in the bullpen warmed up and ready and pull him, right? If he walks somebody, pull him. No, I understand that.
Right.
But like, he's got a perfect game. Let him just see Okay, no problem. And guess what? It's early in the season, so if you need to skip his next start to give his arm a little bit more of a rest, you can because it's early in the season.
Yes, you can.
Versus, hey, if you're heading into the playoff, just think about this. Early in the season, you're like, hey, threw 100 pitch perfect game, right? So let's give him his next start. Let's skip him. You have no problem doing it because it's early in the season. What if it's at the end of the season, right before the playoffs, and he's throwing a perfect game? Are you going to pull him? No, you're going to be like, well, no, it's the end of the season. Let him throw a perfect game. Well, now what? Well, now he's tired for the playoffs. That's the
And
worst
we
part.
already and we already yanked him the first time, so we can't do that again. That can't happen again. We can't do that again. There's no way we're going to yank him two times. Nah, we're not going to do that again. And Clayton Kershaw is one of those guys who he normally only pitches about six and a half innings. Then you get your middle relief in there, then you get your closer. That's usually, but this was an exception, Tone, right? You might have a plan going into this. This is as far as we're going to go with him. And he just had it working also. He had his slider going, he had his fastball
Look
going.
good.
And when he gets going like that, you have to ride him. And if you don't, then you're screwing up a great opportunity to make history. And I think that Skip definitely
But this is also my
like
problem
that.
with baseball. This is also my problem. The fact that a starting pitcher now pitches six, seven innings, then you have a long reliever, middle reliever, short
So
reliever,
we could talk about this for days. This makes me nuts.
setup man, closer.
Oh,
Like,
this makes
what
me
are we
nuts.
doing here,
I
dude?
can't.
Like,
Especially growing up like we did, watching Nolan Ryan, watching watching I can go Roger Clemens, Nolan Ryan, the big unit,
Greg Maddux, they all pitch it.
Adro, Greg Maddux. You know, these guys, you got to take, you have to make yourself take them out of the game. We could talk about this for days, Tone.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine? Seventh inning, perfect game, only thrown 80 pitches. The manager trying to take Pedro out?
Pedro wouldn't have came out. He would not have come out.
There would have been a fist fight.
No, he
There would
wouldn't
have
have
been a
came out.
fist fight.
Nope, he would not have come out. He would have been like, "You're not." Grady Little wouldn't. I remember this like it was yesterday. Grady Little walks up to the mound in Game Seven, in Game Six. I'm sorry, it was Game Six, I think it was, of the ALCS, and he asked Pedro. Pedro was clearly gassed, Tone. He was gassed. He had nothing left, and he asked him, "Are you ready? Do you want to come out?" Of course, he's gonna say no.
No,
You got to take him out.
never.
Of course, he's gonna say no. So, do you think that you're gonna walk up to the mound when Pedro got it going and he got a no, not a no hitter, he got a perfect game in seven innings and go, "All right, yo, you're at your pitch count. Man, you're gonna have to fight. These gloves coming off, and we're gonna have to fight right here because I'm not coming out. You're not taking me out. Nope."
Listen, I nowhere near the same extent what I'm about to tell you. I understand, so don't kill me in the comments, people. But I've started to play basketball again now that not that we've started to lighten up some of the actually I played a game last night, but that's a conversation for another time. But I was playing pickup, I want to say last week, and pickup, just pick our teams. We run to I think we were running to 11, everything right. So I'm gassed, right? Because keep in mind, I haven't played in years and I am gassed. And so as I'm coming down the court on the wing, guy dishes to me, one dribble, bam, I hit this floater, game done. And my legs are jello. I am telling you, they are jello. And so I walk off to get some water, and the team that wins, of course, stays on, right? That's how pickup works.
That's the
So
way
I
it
go, I
works.
drink some water, and they're like, all right, we're gonna run it back. And my head is saying, I can't walk, right? But we won. So like, yo, Tone, you good? I'm like, yeah, let's go.
Yo,
Jello back,
you
my
gotta go back
jello
out
legs
there.
back out. That you don't
I
come
come
out,
off one of
man.
those. No, you don't.
Like if like I couldn't imagine myself saying, we just won. That's it, I'm done. Nah, man, I couldn't do that. All right. Conspiracy time. Dun dun dun.
Uh-oh.
I told you this was a good one because this one has so many different facets to it. So let's start. We're gonna go back to the 2013 NBA playoffs. The Golden State Warriors with Coach Mark Jackson and a different Steph Curry. Big ankle braces on. Everyone's worried about if he can make it. Is he going to even make it in the NBA? Kind of because of these ankle injuries. Conspiracy one, because there's two. Conspiracy one from this series is that George Karl, the coach of the Denver Nuggets, kind of pulled a Greg Williams. If you remember, Greg Williams from the NFL had the what was it? The there was a, he had a gate where he was like paying players bonuses to take people out. Do you remember this when he was the coach of the defensive coach of the Saints?
Yeah.
So, well, apparently, George Karl kind of had a similar thing where he had told the Denver Nuggets players to be a little rough with Steph Curry, especially around the legs. In fact, they show a couple of clips where I believe Kenneth Faried, as Steph's coming through the lane, just sticks out his leg and hits him in the ankle. And, you know, of course, Carl denies that he did that. Yeah. But there's enough smoke where I believe there's fire. So let's start with that piece. Do you think George Karl gave his players, let's start with a mandate to kind of make, you know, hit Steph every time they had a chance to, and more so hit him on the legs and see if his ankles will hold up?
Well, George Karl.
Bounty Gate. I remembered. It was Bounty Gate with Greg Williams. I feel good.
George Karl don't strike me as that type. He doesn't strike me as that kind of guy, Tone. He's a North Carolina. Nah, he's a North Carolina guy. Even though he's a hard-nosed guy, he's a North Carolina guy. He strikes me as the kind of coach who we're gonna beat you, but we're gonna beat you fair and square. We're not gonna do anything. There's no trickery, and we're not gonna do anything dirty. He never struck me as that kind of guy. Because if that's the case, then he coached Gary Payton for all of them years. And if he coached Gary Payton for all of those years, I would think that there would be guys who would have gotten hurt more, that they would have went after guys more with him, with Gary Payton, with Sean Kemp, with Michael Cage, because he had a lot of gritty guys back then, and none of that was going on then. So there's no reason for me to believe that George Karl would, you know, conjure up an idea to hurt Steph Curry. And if he did, then they would have hurt him. It wouldn't be a situation where if he came up with this, if he wanted to hurt Steph Curry, or if he gave the order, so to speak, then Steph Curry would have gotten hurt, because he comes from that kind of era where, you know, you rough guys up. So if that was the case, then I think that that would have happened. And the fact that it didn't, I think that shuts down the idea that Karl had any, he was thinking about doing something like this. Now,
I think you want George Karl on that wall. I think you need George Karl on that wall. And I think he gave the order. And I'll tell you why I think he gave the order. He did. He was coaching in the 90s, where roughing players up and knocking them as they came into the lane was part of the game.
Right.
So to say that in 2013, where they weren't doing that anymore, he just kind of said, hey, let's keep playing that style of basketball where we know someone is on a hobbled leg. I'm not saying take him out. I'm not saying do something dirty. But I would say, hey, you know what? If he's jumping, give him a little bump. If he's coming through the lane, stick your, you know, give him a little bump. I don't think that's anywhere near. I think George Karl is that type of coach because he was playing or coaching in that era when that was the norm. Right. So I wouldn't be surprised. So you're on the no, I'm on the yes. No. But here's part two of this. On that Denver Nuggets team was a player by the name of Andre Iguodala.
Iggy.
The following season, Iggy signs with the Warriors. During that series, that playoff series, the other rumor where there was so much smoke, there's got to be fire, is that he was talking to Mark Jackson and telling him, George Karl is telling our players to hurt Steph Curry, and I don't want to be part of that. I just want you to know. Adding fuel to that, one, is Iggy being signed by the Warriors the next season? Two, is Mark Jackson saying, I know they're trying to do this, and I have inside, I think it was a mistake, in a press conference saying, I have inside information that George Karl has told his players to do this. Three, is George Karl himself saying, I don't like the fact that Iggy was talking to Mark Jackson, and I think telling him stuff that he shouldn't have been.
Well, first of all, there's a reason why he don't like Iggy talking to Mark Jackson, because you telling him what I told you to do, and he's not supposed to know that. That's first of all. Number two, number two, well, this isn't a conspiracy theory, because Iggy confirmed it. I didn't know that part.
If that's I know, that's case, why I didn't tell you about this one. Right. So I wanted it to be a complete surprise.
Right. Then it's not a conspiracy. It's legit. If Iggy said, "This dude, I'm on the team, and this guy is telling us to do this," then it's not a conspiracy theory. We don't, legit.
Let's be clear. That's the rumor is that it was Iggy who told Mark Jackson. Mark Jackson said he had inside information, but the dots line up because then Iggy goes and signs with them.
If he's got inside information, it's not a coincidence that he's got inside information, and the guy who was on the crew last year becomes an integral part of what they're doing the next year.
Yeah,
but he's got inside information. I'd like to think that inside information is this guy. Absolutely, I think that is Iggy. So how could it not be? Yeah, there's no reason for me not to think that it's not Iggy. So with that being said, then it's not a conspiracy theory. Iggy is confirming it. Yo, which surprises me about George Karl because, again, I mean, I remember him coaching in the 90s when things were a little rougher and things were a little more gritty. Things were grittier. And because of that, I would think the guys would have gotten hurt more, right? You would have Karl Gate where, you know, you'd have Karl Gate where, you know, he's putting an extra $1,000 in your.
Now, I'm not saying he was offering money. No one's saying he offered money to hurt Steph Curry.
Well, I don't see why not. I don't see why not. I mean, I'm not just going to go out there and go, yo, I need you to let's see if we can take this guy out. Next thing you know, there's an extra $1,000 in my check. So I don't know, Tone. I mean, Iguodala is actually confirming it. So I don't think it's a conspiracy. It's legit.
The reason why I think obviously those things, but also Karl's tenure in Denver just kind of seemed very tumultuous, right? Even him, you always hear the stories about him and Melo not getting along in Denver. I don't know. Maybe he was just frustrated and he's like, I'm done. Like, so I can get that. Coaches can't change. Mm-hmm. He might've not done it in the 90s and then just been like, you know what, dude, just let's see how tough this kid is. Cause I think when you see a weakness in a player, you do try to exploit that weakness, right? Like if you just think about it, when you're playing and you see a guy who's slow, weak on defense, what do you do? Well, you put your best, fastest player and you try to create that matchup for him, your best one-on-one player, to end up on a switch with that person so he can take advantage. Mm-hmm. That's what you do. If you know someone has a bad shoulder, I'm not saying I try to hurt him, but I do dip my shoulder into his shoulder a little bit, right? If he's got a bad leg, guess what? I'm posting him up and I'm putting my weight on him a little bit and seeing how he can hold up. So that's why I'm not surprised. It's just because now everyone's denying this, of course, which is why it's a conspiracy. But there's way too many. There's way too many connected dots, right?
One plus one equals two. This isn't
every single time.
This isn't one plus one equals three. And this doesn't, no, one plus one equals two. And this adds up to this, which adds up to this, which adds up to this. And we've gotten corroboration. So Iggy, who
Mark Jackson really shouldn't have said that in the press conference, but
he's telling us that he's got inside information. We know who the inside information is, Tom. Yeah. We know who it is. So
1 to 10, I'm a 10.
I'm 10 too.
All right. No longer conspiracy solved. Mm-mm. All right. The last piece of the puzzle today is part two of our greatest franchise in NBA history tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start with the team that gets the bye in the West, which is the Los Angeles Lakers, for obvious reasons. We've given the Celtics and the Lakers a bye because we needed to give two teams a bye, and they have the most chips. So let me give you the Lakers, the rundown of their roster, and then we'll get into the – and look, this one actually is going to be debatable because it's the Lakers, and then we'll go into the three games that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So we got Magic, Kobe, Baylor, Jabbar, O'Neal, West. Are we okay with that? I'd love it. Man, that would have been a good line.
So Magic at the one, Kobe at the two, Elgin Baylor at the three.
I guess Kareem and Shaq share the front.
No, we're not doing that. Nuh-uh. We got both five men. Put a five man there, Tone. No, take one of them dudes out. Don't do that. And I'm putting you as a Laker guy on the spot. Do it, Tone. Take one of the five men out and put a four man in there. Do it.
Kareem could play the four, man.
No, he can't, Tone. I play in the hole. I play in the hole just like Shaq does. Okay, take one.
Okay. No worries. I'm going to move. I'm just going to keep the same six players. I'm just going to move Kobe to the small forward, which I can
do. Here we go. This is nonsense.
And I'm going to move West into my shooting guard.
No!
And I'm going to Elgin Baylor to be my power forward, and then I'll have Shaq off the bench.
Unbelievable.
This is the lineup that we were given. So they get the ball. We don't have to talk about that till they play. Okay.
All right.
But that's it's
okay.
Who would you put in at the four for the Lakers?
James Worthy.
Yeah, that's not bad. All right, let's go with the first matchup. So we got the all-time Jazz versus the all-time T-Wolves.
Mm-hmm.
The all-time Jazz, and here's what we got for the all-time Jazz. Listen, it was tough for, you know, we had, like I said, Dominic was nice enough to set up these lineups for us. So I'm just giving you the six. You can put up whatever lineup you want. But we got John Stockton, Pete Maravich, Adrian Dantley, Karl Malone, Rudy Gobert, Jeff Hornacek.
Let's see. I like that lineup. Yep. Okay. I like that line. I don't have a problem with that lineup.
They're going up against what I say. They're going up against the T-Wolves.
This lineup is super whack.
I see a sweep coming.
Super whack.
Ricky Rubio.
No.
Wally Zerbiak.
No.
Wally Zerbiak was he's okay. Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah.
Kevin Garnett. Karl Anthony Towns. And my guy, former Raptor coach, Sam Mitchell.
Okay, first of all, take Rubio out of the lineup.
Take Rubio out.
Put Terrell Brandon in the lineup.
Oh, yeah, okay, Terrell Brandon. Okay, yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Rubio's out the lineup and Terrell Brandon is in the lineup.
Would you take out – I'd actually take Wally Zerbiak out and put in Anthony Edwards already.
Already? I was thinking either that dude or Sprewell, one of them two.
Oh, yeah, and Sprewell.
Sprewell only played one season. But this going off the Minnesota, this is going off the Minnesota Timberwolves all-time lineup. So,
yeah.
Zerbiak is an all-time great there. Sprewell only played there 1 year.
But he's still better.
Right. And he's still as a player, he's better. Right. So, all right. Terrell Brandon at the one. Zerbiak at the two. Let's see here.
Wiggins at the three.
Andrew Wiggins at the three.
KG clearly is the power forward.
KG at the four. Mm-hmm. KG at the four.
And then I have Cat at the five. Right,
and Cat at the five. Okay. All right, I'm good with that five.
I'm good with that. Okay.
How do they
hold up?
Utah beats Jazz? Them in four games. Smokes them in four smokes games. Them. Bye. Four games.
See ya. Oh, that was a quick one. All right. Nuggets and Blazers. So let me pull up my all-time Nuggets. You're gonna like this one, I think, a lot. Mm-hmm. Fat Lever.
At the one, absolutely.
David Thompson.
At the two, no doubt.
The best scorer of the 90s. No one scored more, or 80s, excuse me. No one scored more points in the 80s than this name that most people don't even know. Alex English.
I was having a difficult time putting Carmelo Anthony in front of Alex English. I just was, man.
He's not on this list.
I just was, man.
I think he's on the Knicks. That is why, too. Melo's on the Knicks. Dan Issel.
Mm-hmm.
Nikola Jokic.
Joker. Mm-hmm.
And my favorite shooter of the 90s, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
Coming off your bench. Abdul-Rauf.
I like that lineup. I like that lineup.
I do like that lineup. Like I said, I like the point guard. I like the point guard. I like the two guard. I think that Carmelo Anthony would come off the bench.
Well, we have to make a pick. We have to make a pick, Carmelo on the Nuggets or the Knicks, and we put him on the Knicks.
Did we put him on the Knicks?
Yeah. I'm
he played 7 years. He played 7 years in Detroit. He only played 6 years for the.
Yeah, he is on the Knicks.
Yeah, he only played 6 years in New York. He played 7 years for the
Knicks. When you think of Carmelo, do you think of him more as a Knick or a Nugget?
Yeah, as a Nugget.
Do you really? I feel like he's a Knick to me. That's where he wanted to go. He also played at Syracuse. Yeah. I feel like he's more New York to me.
Because they were on TV more, even though he did more.
That's true. With the Nuggets. That's true.
He did way more with the Nuggets than he did with the Knicks, no doubt.
All right, the Blazers lineup. We got Dame Lillard, Jeff Petrie, Clyde Drexler, Cliff Robinson, LaMarcus Aldridge, Terry Porter. I think we need to flip out Aldridge for Walton.
Well, yeah. No.
No?
Tone. 4 years, Tone. 200 games. That's it? 50 games a year?
But he was injured. He won a title with them.
Was he better than Sabonis?
Oh, I forgot about Sabonis. Was it's because I forgot about Sabonis.
Yeah, I don't think he was better than Sabonis. Absolutely not. No.
Oh, you're absolutely. You're right. Mm-hmm.
He was not better than Sabonis with the Blazers. No. We put Sabonis there. Drex plays the two.
What is it with Portland? Just on a quick side note, what is it with Portland and their big man always being like bad feet? Odin.
I don't get
Walton,
it.
Walton, Sabonis, like all of them. It's all injuries to their bigs.
I try to make sense of that.
So we're good. So we're good with everything except for flipping Aldridge for Sabonis.
Sabonis plays the five. Aldridge plays the four. Now I'm going to throw something at you, Tone. Was Aldridge better than Sheed?
Ooh, no, he was not. Not in my book.
And with the Blazers.
With the Blazers, no. Sheed was the man with the Blazers, no.
Okay. I just want to make sure we're clear. So we're taking Aldridge out and we're putting Sheed in.
Yeah, we're putting Sheed in. Yeah, so we're changing the front court. We're making the 4-5 Sabonis and Sheed. That makes them a much better team.
That makes them a much better team.
Does it make them good enough to beat that Nuggets team?
No, because I think that Nuggets team got too much firepower. I think that Nuggets
Thompson and English are going to score like crazy, and then you have Jokic, which is just he's going to make their lives so much easier.
Well, Jokic, that's Sabonis basically,
but younger, because don't forget we're not talking about EuroLeague Sabonis. We're not when he finally came to the NBA. He was older.
Yeah, he was playing with the Blazers. So I think that Denver Nuggets team gets them. Yeah, I do.
I think so too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we got Nuggets.
Rich Creamies.
All right, here's the last one. All-time Sonics / Thunder versus the Suns. Let's go Thunder first. Let me find them here.
Mm-hmm.
I got my list. My lists, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the Thunder? Did I lose the Thunder? I lost the Thunder. You know, there we go. Sonics Thunder. Okay. Gary Payton, Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, Sean Kemp, Jack Sigma, and my guy, Rashard Lewis. That 7-foot point forward.
Okay.
Who are we missing? Are we good?
I'm looking at this crew, and
you want Lenny Wilkins in there, don't you?
I do not want Lenny Wilkins. First of all, he didn't play for
that. Did he coach him?
I'm thinking about downtown Freddie Brown at the two, but
over Westbrook.
Well, this is what needs to be made clear, Tone. Same thing you did with Jabbar and Shaq. Do the same thing with Russell Westbrook, and do the same thing with Gary Payton. Pick one. Who's the guy? Pick one.
Who are you picking?
Gary Payton. That's who I'm picking. Gary Payton.
All right, so we'll go Gary Payton. You want to put in downtown?
I don't know if I want to put in downtown Freddie Brown, but I think about the two guards that played there. I mean, Russ was better than Nate McMillan. He was better than Hersey Hawkins.
I think that's why Russ is there. You're just going with the two-point guard lineup.
When I think about the two guard, he wasn't better than Gus Johnson. So Gus Johnson goes in the two spot. I think Gus goes into the two. Rashard Lewis at the three?
Kevin Durant at the three.
I was about to say, KD at the three.
Yeah,
KD at the three, Sean Kemp at the four, and Jack Sigma at the five. I like that five, Tone. I like it.
But let me ask you this. I like the five, but Rashard Lewis over Detlef Schrempf?
No.
No, right? Like, no. Okay, so we'll take out Rashard Lewis. We'll put in Detlef Schrempf. Okay, so that's the lineup. So that's Sonics lineup. Against the Suns, and the Suns got. See, here's the thing: we're gonna have two point guards again, so we're gonna have to make a decision. Steve Nash, KJ, Kevin Steve Johnson,
Nash. Steve Nash. I'm not listening to that, Tone. I'm not entertaining that. Steve Nash. I'm not.
But that dunk on Olajuwon.
I'm not listening to that. That
dunk
Tone.
On Olajuwon.
on top of not just on Olajuwon, he threw it right over the top of Olajuwon. Threw it right over the top of. Unbelievable.
Well, if you haven't seen Kevin Johnson of the Phoenix Suns dunking on Olajuwon, go put that into your YouTube search. Trust me, it's worth it.
Do it on Larry Nance, too, by the way. Go.
The Larry Nance one, too. Yeah.
Do it on Larry Nance, too. Yeah. Just like you did on Olajuwon, do it on Larry Nance, too.
Yeah, there's no athletic point guards back then.
Yeah.
Kevin Johnson. Okay, Walter Davis, Alvin Adams, Amari Stoudemire, Sean Marion.
Well, number one.
I'm assuming we're putting Barkley on the Sixers. That's why too. But even though he was an MVP for the Suns,
he only played 4 years there. Tom.
Only played 4 years. Yeah, okay.
He only played 4 years there. Take Walter Davis out. Westfall goes in the two spot with the Suns, and at the three spot, I'm cool with Sean Marion being there. I'm absolutely cool with that. Stoudemire at the four, and who's at the five in Phoenix? They never really had a great big man in Phoenix.
Was Tom Chambers a five or a four?
No, he played the four.
Played the four?
Yeah, he played the four.
I'd put him at the, you know.
You know what? He was better than Stoudemire. he was better than Stoudemire.
Maybe you could play them together at the 4-5, you don't think?
James no, Tone, see?
Stoudemire played the five. In that run and gun kind of 7-second offense, he did play the five.
Did he?
A little bit, yeah.
I don't like this at all, Tom. I don't. You want to play both of them? I don't like it, but okay. Now, if I'm looking at these two teams, I like the Seattle team. I just think that I think that in terms of not just depth and not just scoring, but defense, I think they better.
Defense is going to be the problem for the Suns because the Sonics Thunder do have better defense. Here's the way I look at this particular one.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're close, but I think Gary Payton gives Nash all that he can handle. I don't think they have an answer for Kevin Durant. And Sean Kemp. Like who's stopping Sean Kemp on that team?
Gary Payton speeding up the game. Oh man.
So like normally I would say I don't know if there's a team that can score with the Suns just because the way that they're gonna play with Nash at the point. But I actually think the Suns are the team that could slow them down. And with Kevin Durant and others, they have the scoring too. So I'm with you there. So we got Suns. So next, when we do this, the West, the top half of the West, we're gonna have Lakers, Jazz, Nuggets, Suns.
Mm-hmm.
We've already done the East top portion, which is sixth, which we're now Sixers, Raptors, Nets, Wiz. But next week, we're going to do the East, the bottom half of the bracket, which is going to be Magic, Bulls, Bucks, Cavs, Pacers, Pistons. And we'll tell you about the Celtics and their team that gets the bye. And then the next episode after that, we got Warriors, Clippers, Kings, Grizzlies, Mavericks, Spurs, Pelicans, Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Whew. That was a lot. That was a lot. I think that's it for today.
Mm-hmm.
Just a reminder. Who you got your picks? You got Atlanta winning or no?
Cleveland. I got Cleveland.
You got Cleveland. I got Atlanta. I got the Pelicans.
I got the Clips.
And you got the Clips. All right. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how we do. We're either gonna be 1-1 or 2-0 and 0-2. We'll find out. But until next time,
take it light, but take it.